I want to talk to us about how to deal with offenses in the church. In your church. How do I deal with offenses in my church? One of the characteristics of church is offenses. Say it'll be offenses. It will come. Luke 17 defines that for us. Luke chapter 17. It says, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Stumbling blocks. But woe unto him through whom they come. He said, it is impossible. That is, you cannot pray against offenses from coming. It is impossible. Amplified says, and Jesus said unto his disciples, temptations, snares, traps set to entice to sin are sure to come. They are sure to come. So in our church, or any church for that matter, offenses will come. Matthew 18, verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. So offenses will come in the church. The church is not immune from offenses. Like I told you when I was in a local church, that the church is a society. The church involves people from different parts of the larger, as it were, society. We have artisans, professionals, educated, non-educated, people from well-brought-up backgrounds, people from non-well-brought-up backgrounds, from backgrounds that we can't refer to as well-brought-up. We have people from Christian backgrounds, we have people from non-Christian backgrounds, you know, polygamous homes, monogamous homes, you know. So we have different people, but who are one in Christ. However, because of the nature of the spiritual life, and I remember on Facebook, we had people fight over this. When I said emphatically that heaven is not a reward for any Christian, because heaven is part of the inheritance we have in Christ. Well, that's difficult for people, because if somebody said that, yes, it's true, Jesus purchased everything by his blood, but then, you know, you couldn't see the fact that heaven does not require works to enter. That, and I said, look, you all quote this scripture, but you don't understand it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That was all he said. How are you born again? You are born again by believing in the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. At that point, you are born again. He said, then what has happened? You have entered into the kingdom. The difference you don't understand is that the kingdom is on earth, the kingdom is in heaven. Ephesians 3:14 talks about the family on earth and the family in heaven. Second Timothy 4, Paul talks about the heavenly kingdom. That is, the kingdom is on earth here. That kingdom come was the Lord's Prayer. And the kingdom is also in heaven. You don't get into the one in heaven except you are in the one on earth. And you know, it was difficult. The Bible now called me to Colossians 3. That Jesus said that, Paul said that, let you set your mind on the things above. Where Christ sits in heaven. Where Christ, who is our life? I said, look at it. And we are where? We are in him there. So what he's telling you is this. Grow spiritually. Manifest that kingdom on earth. That's what he's teaching you. So oftentimes, they cannot separate spiritual growth and being born again. They think that spiritual growth, they don't work out your salvation, your temple and fear. I said, don't be lazy. Read the next verse. It is God who is at work in you. Both to will and to do. So, oftentimes, people, and because of that, when they enter church too, you know, they feel that besides being born again, God will still select from those who are born again. You understand? So, at that point, they expect, naturally, again, that when you come to church, things must be done perfectly. I agree. Things ought to be done perfectly. But when they are not done perfectly, it is still church. They are still saints of God. They are still God's children. But, because again, like I told you in the local church, we are on levels of spiritual growth. Some have not even grown at all. Some have grown and it's slow. Some are growing and they are growing steadily. And there are areas where they have not grown spiritually, that when they take that area and bless you, you are blessed. So, offenses will come. What is an offense? The word offense from the Greek is the word skandalion. It means an occasion, a reason, a scandal, a trap to sin. You need to also know that these offenses come through people. There are just a word to him through which it comes. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only, not liberty for an occasion to serve the flesh, but by love, serve one another. So that means, someone can give in to the flesh. He is born again. 1 Peter 2:16. As free, I'm not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. You know something? If people today, most church analysts and critics, if they come, if they were around in Paul's time, I believe they would have rated Paul's church as worldly, not heaven bound, not rapturable, as they say. I asked a question one day. I said, there is this church. What do you think about it? I said, they have members that fornicate. They have members who keep different camps. They are rebellious. And then you know the funny thing? During the Lord's Supper, they don't even give a hoot. They act in selfishness. Some of them still eat food that is offered to go and struggle. They say, eh? I said, they have apostles, they'll be speaking in tongues. So, And then, you know the funny part? They have prophets there. They have teachers. Say, wow. They even have bad friends. Some of them move with bad gang. Say, some of them, they even have multiple relationships. Church? Church. They form division and camp in church. Say, That's serious. Said God would save us. Said only God knows those who are his. Said the church has departed from the truth. Let us go back to those days. Said, you know where that church is? Said where? It's in the Bible. Said which church? Said the church in Corinth. He had passed the judgment before he knew that church was in the Bible. So let's see what he calls them. Saints. Daddy? Temple of the Holy Ghost. Temple of idols. They would have called the church this days. They would have called the church. So sometimes, you know, people are like that. So even in Christian church, what churches? People come in and they don't expect some things to happen to them. Or telling people to do certain things. I'm going to see later. One of the most difficult offenses is the one that comes from the leader. Oftentimes, that's why people leave church. Before we go on, we are learning how to handle it. So, the first thing is that, you know, they say you're a Babakadara, it will happen. You know, it's just like a thief in the night. The hour, the day, and the time, no man, not the Son of Man, not the angels in heaven. Only God knows when the offense will come. You understand? You ever remember the Holy Ghost will tell you, the offense is coming now at 4:30 p.m. About 30 seconds. It will happen. It will come through so and so person. It will come. There is no point. It is part of what we do on a daily basis in church. Things you have to note. Don't forget, we're talking about how to deal with offenses in church. Look around and say, we are church. You see, all this, look around and say, this is church. Say, this is church. Say like that, this is church. So talk to them and say, you are part of church. Hey, so this person is a part of church. So when you say offenses will come, it will come through us. It can also come through me. What do you see? That sometimes the person who is causing offense does not know. You understand? So this is church. You and I make church. So the first thing you must note, things to note. If you are writing, put it in capital letter. Underline it. Star it. Put it in brackets. There is no perfect church. Because you are not. There is no perfect church. There is no church where we have issues. In fact, the fact that I don't have issues is an issue on its own. There is no church where people, you know, somebody got married, a man of God, and he said something. He said himself and his wife, they never had a quarrel in over 10 years of marriage. Ah. And I began to laugh. Well, two things. Is either he married the mumu, or they are waiting for the day of judgment. You know, people keep it until the last day. It's not possible. How can you marry somebody and you don't have a quarrel? Who did you marry? It can't be possible. How is it possible? The only person you can marry and have no quarrel with is yourself. You can't be fighting yourself now. If you are fighting yourself, it is still yourself. There is still no quarrel. It takes two to quarrel. Do you understand? So, even in marriage, you can't say, this, in fact, she's my best friend. And that's why some people are disappointed in marriage. Some people plan for disappointment. People talk about their fiancé like this, you wonder, who are you talking about? Is everything to me? Is what I want? Is what I want? Is one thing I wish? Is this? In fact, God just sent a Messiah in human form. God, is women that talk like that? Men are wiser. They have what they say about their wives. There is this, though, is that. Don't expect too much. We're going to teach on relationship next month. Marital issues. Marry for the single. Marry for the double. And marry for the single again. You are first single, then you get to double, you want to marry. Then single again when you become one. The first level, at that point, your life is full of happiness, without troubles, and anything to think about for yourself. The second time, you now get to what we call Nollywood. You begin to fantasize. Yeah, towards the end of that second cycle, you begin to see some reality. But it's too late. Your hands are on the floor, you cannot look back. The third stage, you just accept destiny. And that is the place where your Christian character now comes out. Because you can never experience love in courtship. Read my lips. You cannot experience love in courtship. It is where you are married. Did you observe that Paul didn't teach those who are in relationship to love themselves in 1 Corinthians 7? He only told those who are married. Amen. It's good. You discover that some things are before he marries you. When you are married, it won't continue. It will now become an event. So that when last did you? That's normal. You get my point. when you have won a trophy, you is already your own. Praise the Lord. Are you in church? You see, let's be realistic. Do you get my point? Let's be realistic. Some people don't know me. Say, ah, pastor is such a wonderful. Is the Jesus we see? You are right. I receive it, and I'm growing. So maybe you have seen another level of my growth. But the honest truth is that I'm as human as you. You are as human as myself. The level, really, enough times, it has to do with how much of the word of God we have appropriated. But it doesn't take away the fact that we are human. So the first thing we must see is that there is no perfect church because you are not perfect. I'll give you a simple litmus test to that. I started applying it a couple of years back. That saved me. You know what? When you see a fellow who has never been a pastor talk about churches, you know you will know. If a non-pastor talks about church, you will know. You will see that his crisis will never be realistic. It will be objective. I told you before. You see, they are, that church, I saw a member of that church. They say, if this is something that is not right in society, you know, you feel somehow, if you are not a pastor, but if you are a pastor, it shouldn't shock you. Are you with me? When somebody who has not been a pastor, for instance, when you are coming up in the faith, you see some people and say, why is he doing like this? Why is he doing like this? Oftentimes, it is because you have, you know, Jesus talked about when you have skyscraper in your eyes, and you see, you know, people like that often see speck of dust easily. Do you know why? I'll tell you. When there's a log of wood in your eyes, you know your vision will be small. So you will now see that small part of someone's eye. Whereas it's just a speck of dust, which is very small. But because your eyes are blind, you are likely to just see small things, so you will see the speck of dust. The reason is because there is enough cocoa house in your eyes. Are you following me? That is why you will see it. But if there is no cocoa house in your eyes, you will see the other parts of the eye. But when there is a skyscraper, your vision will be limited. Matthew 7. Judge not, that you be not judged. Why did he say this? For with the measure or the judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Why do you behold the speck that is in your brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in your own eye? How would you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in your own eye? The first thing you do, you see, when you are in church, before you begin to see someone in your eye, put yourself in that person's shoe. That's the best way to judge. Would you have acted better? So sometimes you talk about a pastor and I would say, okay, come and handle cell. In 6 months. He has 2 members. You know, he will reduce his criticisms when he goes to work. Have you appreciated your father before? When you became a father, you will love your father more. You will know what they have gone through. You know, women will say, well, so, don't mind mommy. What did she say? Say, I carried you for 9 months. It was a big deal. The day it happens to you, and in 9 months, you are disfigured. You know you can't go for Miss World. You are just getting a hand like this. You are spitting. And you don't be too angry to cut it off. You will wait. And on the day of delivery, you are screaming. They don't push, you are pushing. Child now comes out. Child now grows up and says, mommy, leave that side. Say, eh? You now appreciate your mommy. That's how life is, oh. That's how life is. the day I wrote my bar exams, and I dropped the pen, the first thing that I developed, it was supernatural. I respected all lawyers. Yankara, Koshu lawyer, charge and bail, Igrodu lawyer. I said, this is serious. I said, this is serious. From that point, any lawyer, I said, good day, sir. What is this? Now, I do, from that point, I stop judging. So, naturally in life, people often judge like that because they don't want to put themselves in that person's shoes. So, they say, but how can a pastor do like that? I laughed. Hey, you are not a pastor. Do you know the kind of miracles that you have wrought through your the kind of mighty signs and wonders that have come through you. So, not that there is no perfect church. Not that. That what makes the church perfect is you and I. When we are growing, church is growing. Is that okay? Also note this. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Write it boldly again. Offenses will always come. You don't pray against it. You know, in Jesus' name, Father, I take authority over the offenses in our church. In the name of Jesus, you already created an offense. I bind it. Let me tell you what you should do. In fact, there should be an attitude you should have about when you know something is inevitable. Then you don't pray about it. What is inevitable should not create worry. Do you understand? Should not create worry. James 1. There should be a ready attitude for offenses. Note that. James 1. I want us to read that together. James 1, 2. Where to go? So what do you do? You know, it's very difficult to. You know, particularly when somebody you don't expect will do something, will not do something, that will count it all joy. It is when you count it joy that character is formed through you. Count it all joy. You know, it's very easy to be happy when somebody does something you like. But when you rejoice when somebody does what you don't like, that's character. Number three, note this. It doesn't portray the offender in a perfect way. When an offense comes through, if you get me now, it doesn't portray her. That offense does not portray who she is. It just portrays what she did. Never judge people. You know something? How many of you know that? Now, look at everybody. Do you know that? And I want you to be very, very honest about this. How many of you really love people to judge you by your heart? Let me see. You really want to judge by your heart. That's really your desire. But you know the point? You know you don't do that for people. You only want to judge people by the heart. You only want to think the person has a good intention. You think that if what he has done is bad, his intention was bad. In law, we have a law. In legal parlance, there's a law. They say a man's hands might be guilty, but his mind might not be. They call it justice. Why do they say that? They know accidents happen. For instance, if someone dies, through someone dies, you know, you don't
He has killed him. You know why would they be killing him? He's a witch. He's a witch.
The judge will look at all the facts. There was a case I remember. One fellow, I learned that in my second year or so in school. Nungu was fighting with someone. So he held like an axe, a cutting axe. You know this axe that the blade is like this, there's wood behind. So, as they were fighting, they now brought evidence. Nungu killed him, he should be killed. They now discovered that when he brought up the axe, he first of all pointed the blade at that guy, then changed it. Right? And used the wooden part to club the guy. The guy eventually died in the hospital. That was enough to say he didn't want to kill him. To have changed the blade to the wooden part. No. A man's hands can be guilty. But when you paint the entire picture of something, oftentimes people will have a different opinion. We often quote people out of context. We take the statements that we don't like from all they said. But if you put everything in the right context, you know that people may have a different opinion. So, when someone brings an offense to you, it doesn't paint the person in the true light all the time. Someone can abuse you. It doesn't mean the person doesn't respect you. Someone can say something, maybe out of the spur of the moment. Don't judge people. You know, how many of you have done things in life that really was not your intention? That is the way you should see offenses. Sometimes it is not intentional. It doesn't portray the offender in the perfect light. The person is only human. Tell anybody, I'm human. And so are you. Say it well, I'm human. And so are you. Don't say I'm woman, no, I say human. And so are you. These are people who remember. Pastor Jakes, one day like that, he said this, calm down. Pastor Jakes is a wonderful person. He has done many other things. Take that as his being human. No! You know, people say, calm down, no! He's not being human. And I know what I'm saying. A man of God should not. Calm down. Don't fight yet. Is only being human. Number four. Note that offenses, oftentimes the word is scandalion. I said this in the meeting yesterday. How many of you have caught rats before? They will take the rats will like. They will put a trap behind it. Offenses come as traps, but they don't show themselves as traps. Let me tell you the trap behind an offense. For you, what you will see is different. You will see trauma annoying you. That is what logic will tell you. You will see Scott. Scott said what I didn't like. Scott got on my nerves. Toby did so and so. But let me tell you the trap behind offense. The essence of offense is to create a division in church. That is it. Because of the power of unity. Look at the Tower of Babel. They had one mind, one speech, one language, one purpose. Genesis 11:1. And God Almighty said, if you don't scatter their language, there is nothing you can do to stop them. Now, take that to mean that if we are together, there is nothing we cannot do. But the minute there are divisions in our camp, there is nothing we can do. Division means double mind, double vision, double opinion. It just means more than one. So, when we are together, there is nothing, just like in a family. We have a, is, look, if I marry, you know, some people try to look at their marriages and look at some men of God, say, I just married pastor. So they go home and take the impression of people's family to their family. They destroy their family. Who told you if you marry pastor, you will not punch yourselves? That's the truth. So they think that to be perfect is a man of the spirit. At least you said man. See, if you mentioned man, I'm okay. At least he's still a man. You see, people are very funny. They say, you should not get angry. I remember a sister. You know our sisters? This sister said that she wants to marry. She said, why don't you like cooking food? She said, I'm praying to God that I marry a man who doesn't know how to cook. One. Two. So if I cook one is not delicious, it will work in love. That one is ready to offend. She is going into her marriage to offend. Why would a woman get ready to be an object of love? You see? But others do have them. So, you see, if you know how to cook, that's it. You can say, your husband can get angry. He can get angry. He's your husband. I was in the room one day, I said, pastor, I said, where is he? This is not pastor. That's church. That's anointing. This is not anointing. Amen? Or else, I would have spoken my children into being. B. You won't like that kind of child. Even the incarnate one came into a womb. Amen? So, division is the reason for offense. It starts with bitterness. You know what bitterness is? You don't like something. You don't like something. I don't like how the other does it. I don't like the time they keep on meeting. So from there, it now goes to unforgiveness. Then, separation. All of a sudden, what you used to do before, you don't do anymore. 1 Corinthians 11. It now shows in the people you relate with in church. You are now choosy. First of all, verse 18. When you come together in church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. There be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Do you know one of the things about division today? Later on, he now mentioned that Lord's Supper. People usually lose sight of it. They run, you see, that trail of thought, they lose it when he mentioned Lord's Supper. He said, look, that other philosopher I gave you, what the Lord Jesus said. This is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, and you remember me, get the Lord there till he comes. They see that. He now said, for this cause, don't forget, there was a division in church about the Lord's Supper. That was the first thing. People started carrying different opinions and factional beliefs in the church. He said, for this cause, some, notice he didn't say all, some are weak, some are sick, and some die. Let me tell you what. It will start from the attitudes. Hey, Jakes, it will not go into doctrine. All of a sudden, people started seeing different things in what Paul had taught on the same thing. Some became sick, some became weak, and some died. Wasn't the Lord's Supper that was killing them? No. It was their divided opinion about it. So it will finally go into doctrine. Someone told me, who left the church, she said, I never had a problem with the word in the church for some time. The problem I had was you. She said, later on, it now became doctrine. That's where it will get to eventually. Then you want to see what other people have to say about what your pastor is teaching. It will start from offense. Naturally, you should not think like that. But you start believing like that because you feel something is done that is wrong. At that point, you start like the Corinthian church. You say, have you heard Peter on the Lord's Supper? No. What about Apollos? You don't have Apollos. Apollos has one doctrine that is very deep. Say, hey. Say, but Paul. Forget Paul. Is he the only minister? Also Jesus. He's dead. So people began to see things differently. They say, I'm of Paul. 1 Corinthians 1:12. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I am of Christ. Who founded the church? Paul. Who taught them? Paul. Who brought the gospel to them? Paul. Look at the next thing. 1 Corinthians 3. Again, he said they are carnal. Verse 3. Envy, strife, divisions. They now walk as mere men. So see how it goes. Division is the end product. Some of them know. The doctrine is okay. Are you ever saying, well, we love that church. The doctrine is sound. Teaching is good. But now, that is the initial stage. After a while, they will be treating that same doctrine they said was okay, lightly. That is the trap in offense. Some people never knew they would be where they are today. Because they did not know the power of an offense. And we're going to see later, the closer you are to leadership, the more vulnerable you are to offenses. Proverbs 6:19, we read that earlier in the service. God hates a false witness that speaks lies. He that sows discord among brethren. He that sows discord among brethren. Are you the reason why somebody is not talking to someone? Where did you tell Shale that made Shale to be uncomfortable with Sister Moji? What is it that you told Bola that from that point she's no longer committed in her fellowship center? What did you tell the person? You are sowing discord among church members. That's where it comes from. Oftentimes, offenses come through what people tell us that somebody said about us. Note those things. Don't also be comfortable with a tail bearer. Like I said earlier, if they gossip to you, they will gossip about you. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man sows strife. A whisperer separates chief friends. They start with gists. Silent gists. Verse 25. A proud man is the one that stirs up strife. Self-conceit is proud. The end point is to bring division, then eventually you will not be blessed again in that church. Now, this is an encounter I had. There was a meeting we had years back. When we were through with the meeting, you know what we were doing? We organized a program. Everybody came. People went from other places. People, we now started church members, ministry members then. We began to discuss the meeting and we're settling issues. Everybody said, before the meeting, today it is for me. And everybody was just saying things. I was flabbergasted and overgasted. Do you know the funny thing? Virtually everybody from the ministry didn't enjoy the program. But you know the thing? Those who were not part of the ministry had a lot of testimonies about the same program. I'm telling you. A minister told me he had never seen the power of God so strong. Our member said there was no more demonstration of the power of God. Because there was strife. He started with simple things, though. Rice and beans. I'm not joking. It was rice, huh? Somebody said somebody prepped his rice under the bed. He didn't give me. Someone said that everything because I started calling his mother pastor. She began to behave somehow. He started from that. Then those who have been called pastor group themselves. Those who are not being called pastor not group themselves. Then okay, pastor against the pastor. And everybody was that. And then they brought it to the program. And in the program, they started they were worshiping. They were saying, as we got it looks like it's funny, but it happens every day. It will happen in your fellowship center, in yourself. Note number 5, that offenses don't respect the anointing. Offenses don't care. Offenses don't respect the anointing. You know what? And vice versa. The anointing doesn't respect offenses. Offenses don't respect the anointing. They don't care. There was somebody I got born again. And from that point, very humble, who come to church and was learning the word. And he said, well, we'll go everywhere, that's my pastor, he's my father, he's my Lord, he's my God, and all that. Then one issue came up, and then, you know, offenses came up. I read that, you know, this is somebody who has said it publicly to the whole world, he's my pastor, before everybody called my first name. How now? Offenses don't respect anointing. If you are offended, you will misbehave. You will do things that you would never have imagined you can do to someone you respect. When you are offended, you will say anything. Your mouth will lose the control of its tap. You know, you just have extraordinary current. You now begin to blow the fuses. Anointing doesn't respect offenses. Offenses does not respect anointing. You have everything like, what anointing? What God? Somebody said to me years back, I grew this girl, no? From a state where, you know, she was a Christian. And I told her, you are a Christian. She was happy. I don't think the word of God. She went around to everybody, I read the word and all that. She now became, you know, when people say in the word of God, they think they are the only ones who, all over the campus, you know. When offense came, you know what she said? Said this. She said, all the things that you taught us were just a tip of the iceberg. The word is everywhere. Offense doesn't care. The word is everywhere. Many, many years after, she now went to the church of someone I know and said, I've been out of the word for many, many years. Well, I thought it was everywhere. Even the word knows it's not everywhere. At least it's obvious from your statement. At least the word is not growing in you. Look at John. John the Baptist is a peculiar case. In John 1, he said he could not baptize Jesus. He said, this is the Lamb of God. He said, I saw the Holy Ghost come on him. He said, he is greater than me. He said, look, I can't even be a shoemaker, tie his shoes. That is, His shoe is more anointed than my head. At that point, you think that people have said what is eternal about them. A few chapters later, he said, look, go and tell Jesus. Imagine somebody you could not baptize, you now are sending your boys to. You are sending your boys. Go and see him for me. Ask him, are you the one to come, or should we expect another? Now, let me ask you a question. Look here. Was it Jesus that arranged how we knew Jesus was the Christ? What was he asking him? Offenses don't expect anointing. Should we expect another? He didn't care again. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me. So John was not blessed by the ministry of Jesus. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Read that from Matthew 11, 1 to 11. Who is not offended in me. That's strange. See Peter. Huh? Luke 5. Jesus said, cast your net to this right side. The Bible said there was a great catch. And he said, depart from me, depart from me, depart from me, depart from me. I'm a worthless sinner. Over time, he now became his body. And then, Jesus now made a statement that he didn't like in Matthew 16. Can you see that from verse 19 down to 22? Is it 24 now? 23, 24. Jesus said, I was even going to Jerusalem to suffer. And he said, the Bible says, he brought Jesus together. He brought me somebody who said, I'm a sinner. Sir, you know, we say, Toby, sir. You will start to teach before pastor is there. Sir. It seems like heaven came down very feeling so. He sees it as a privilege to share the pulpit with his pastor. He says, who is willing to open the seal? Only thou. But if thou are giving it to me, thank you for your blood. He's so anointed because of that appointment. Over time, Jesus has not sent him out to preach. He has also healed the sick. Peter has started preaching the gospel. He had held meetings all through Capernaum. So, one day, Jesus now said a doctrine that Peter had a different opinion. Bible says he brought Jesus together and began to rebuke him. Should have said that. Sinner, you offense, no respect, anointing. Let me see if you are following what I'm saying. You have to follow. It doesn't respect the anointing. Number 6. Note. Offenses come when people do, say, or think differently from us. They say, they think, or do things differently from us. Offenses will come. Get ready for different opinions. Get ready for different flows of speaking. Different mannerisms and attitudes. Number 7. Note this. Offense is a choice. And being offended is a choice. Being offended is a choice. You can choose not to be offended. You can choose. Did you observe something? Look up. I want you to observe something. When they brought that offense from John to Jesus, Jesus did not speak evil of John. You'll be tempted to reply. First Peter 2 and 22. Talking about Jesus, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. I want us to read verse 23 together. 1 Peter 2, 23. Are you ready? Okay. Once ago, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged him. You want to do fire for fire? I mean, you say, well, I choose not to be offended. Look at that example we shared today about Anna. I'm not even saw that in a different light. You saw it. 1 Samuel chapter 1. You can look at it again. I mean, this was a Christian leader who didn't even have the right report. You know, if there's anybody you can easily get offended at, it's someone like that. Who, you have enough information about things that are not right. Now, don't forget, it's not as if Eli was sleeping with women, no. But he had areas of his life, his children, and he didn't even care. To not make matters worse, he now got at you. Said something that you did not do. Do you know that this is the reason why some people leave some churches? He said what I didn't do. If you are a true Christian who had a good character, you will wait and allow God to clear things. You don't have to run away. Stay. Stay. You know, people say, people should not even find anything in your mouth. Because oftentimes, even some of your friends who are aware that the way they said it was not correct, they'll come and meet you. Don't worry. Don't move beside people. When they come, just say, about what? What is that? No, 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 don't worry about that. Thanks, thanks. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. No, no, I was just trying to. No, no, don't try. Don't try. Your trial is good, but try with yourself. Anna said, my Lord. It was not like that. I was praying. You know, she didn't reply what he said. Word for, she didn't reply what he said. Fire for fire. She said, why should you say that? What? What? So I would even say before you lie. You just keep quiet. He got you wrong, though. And Eli now says, leave the temple. You just go. Ah, why are you bullying your face? Why would I bully my face? Look, I don't like all this people are doing in this church. Why should you come and say that I was drinking? Did you see wine with me? Did you see me with Star or any kind or Smirnoff? No, brother, don't bother me. Don't bother me. I don't want to have anything. And I said, my Lord, it's not so, sir. I actually was praying. What happened? She got the child. That's what is important. She got the child. The Bible says, if we don't take the yam to take the palm oil, we take the palm oil to take the yam. The most important thing is you must eat. Get blessed. Amen. You don't get blessed. Forget offenses will come. But make sure you are always blessed. Offenses will come. Somebody was telling Pastor Tufi about something that happened in the church. They did this. Pastor said he laughed. When he was, he said, you know what? He said, These are the kind of people we don't want in our own church. Because what you said is happening there, it's going to happen here. He said, I'm sure. Yeah, from your attitude, you are not a loyal person. So say, I know, I didn't mean that. You didn't mean what? If somebody was your pastor for so long, you can say this. Who am I? That's a smart person. You know, experience is the best teacher. He's the best teacher. So offenses will come. From things they say we don't like, some people say things about you that wasn't exactly the truth. Maybe that's how they saw it. But it will come. Pastor, what should I do when offenses come? Don't forget we are saying how to deal with offenses. What should I do when they come? Well, before I say that, note everything I've said. That is the way to recognize an offense. Something that wants to change your temperament. It wants to change your commitment, your faith, your focus. Something that wants to take your attention from your normal church activities. Something that wants to make you lose respect for someone you had respected before. Something that wants to make you feel uncomfortable with someone unnecessarily. You know, there was a man, there's a man of God I respected, and I look up to him. You know, and for many years, I just always saw him in a good light, in spite of some things that I saw. But somehow, being a human being, I began to look at other things. I dwelt on it. It affected me a lot. Because of this back, I think that I had grown up from that issue. So I was talking to another minister, I was talking about that person, without mentioning his name. And he now said, something the person said. I said, you are right. I said, but you know something. We can never say it's not honest. He said, it's true. We can never say it's not a blessing. He said, it's true. We can never say that it's not truthful. He said, it's true. So that's something about him we should always talk about. He said, it's true. That's the way I've chosen to see it. You know, we can agree on what he said that was wrong. We can do a seminar on what he said that was wrong. I can teach a series on what he said that was wrong. But it's not necessary. You're only offended. I said that he's an honest person. That there are several of his visions that has blessed us. That you and I are vulnerable to things like that. They say yes. So I've also made mistakes before. Say yes. In visions and in teaching. Say yes. So I've judged someone the way I would judge myself. That takes you away from offenses. You can focus on Pastor Jake's complexion. He's too black. You can also say he's a fine boy. You can say, see, as long as I can be, no. Everything about him is yellow, including his hair strands. You can also say he sings well. You know? You can say Scott, top cat. You can also say Scott is hardworking. You can say that. You can just see it like that. Someone told me, he said this and this. And here's the funny part. Some things about others that sometimes are negative, you know, over time, when we walk in love and love them, appreciate them, they actually overcome it. That's the truth. Some folks just stay on what we don't do right. What is in your eye? Don't forget, Cocoa House. Someone said, I read this and this and this about your church. I said, which, it depends on the site you checked. You know, it's true. Which side did you check? You didn't check the right site. You said, I heard this and this about your church. Who did you talk to? If you go to Aetoro, they won't say what you have said. Is that not true? If you talk to those who have been healed and blessed, they won't say what you have said. Who were you talking to? So, it depends on the way you see it. Offenses come, but you have a choice. You have a choice. Just like marriage. Are you married to your wife? See your wife? Oh, I'm sorry, you just got some new revelations about your wife. Some people don't have any revelation because they have always been married before they got married. Those ones don't have Christian marriages. Why are they too Christian? So that, what's this? Some new things. Ah, she also was something about you. There are two couples, that, a couple, it should be one, that a pastor called for counseling. Okay, a couple who look like two. Pastor now called them. Say they are fighting. They wanted for favor marriage counseling. You see, I just called the two of them and said, okay, write what you don't like about your husband. Write what you like about your wife. You would think Paul was writing his epistles. She had chapter and verse. So on Sundays, on Mondays, she was opening different leaves. Ah. Who is she writing about? The man just said nothing. That's what he said. He said, I love her in spite and despite. Then he went and said, this is the book of life. It has the names of all the saints. What is this? You know the funny part? If you actually want to look at the orokule kule, the woman will have a lot of issues. Oftentimes, people that have issues point out issues. They know it because they have it. So if you want to build your marriage, better stay on the positives. Your wife will annoy you. She will have traits you don't like. I mean, you don't like at all. Some of you don't know that your wife is dirty. They don't know. They don't bother them. Somebody is looking at me. Don't look at me. Look at this. You just discovered that she doesn't have her bath on time. But she's fine, oh. You just see that. Are these your undies or are you using to clean the floor? They are for me. What do you love about? At least she speaks in tongues. She lays hands on the sick. She is brilliant. She teaches the word. Amen. She cooks well. Those are important. Just make sure she doesn't use the undies to cook. So that's how love is. You cannot stay on the negative and you want to build somebody. No. When we stay on people's strength, we help them overcome their weaknesses. A weakness is an area you have not allowed the word of God to work in. A strength is an area you have paid attention to. So if you pay attention to that person's strength, it will be easier for you to point out that weakness in love. Some of you don't know some sisters like money. You get into a relationship with them, you will know. You watch my treasures grow, you will see. You don't know they like money. They like money. They don't know. Some of you know that their finances can be angry. Because they have a church look. Everybody is always around them. When you are alone, you just discover that Sister Mope is not fat, but her face is fat. There's no black eye, but the face is fat. What was happening? Nothing. She has been receiving ministry of punches at home. But because of church, she cleans the black parts. She didn't know that Brother so-and-so had an anointing to beat women. Actually, the point is this. You will still love. Sir? Ma? Love. After all, there was something you liked and loved. Right? That made you marry. I told you, in marriage, you love what you don't like. There's nothing you have to love about what you already like. Abi? Eh? So offenses will come, but choose not to be offended. So I said, what do? Recognize how it comes. It comes through people. It comes anytime. It comes through leaders, followers, members, friends, wives, colleagues, and so on. We are talking about church. What do I do? It's simple. Don't be offended. It's a choice. Don't be offended. Kate Maslow says, when you're offended, don't rehearse it, don't tell it, don't talk about it, curse it, disperse it, and God will reverse it. I love that statement. Oftentimes, today we talk too much about it, and then because we're talking too much about it, we don't let it go. What you talk about a lot will influence your thinking. Don't talk about it. Don't rehearse it. Let it go. Traits of an offense. I'll give you 10. Are you ready? You know why I'm giving you so many reasons in this church service? So that you have enough. You have enough. One, when you start to notice the fault of your leaders and you judge them privately in your heart, you're offended. I didn't say when your leaders have faults. When you start to take notice of it and you now judge it in your heart, you are offended. You are taking note of several things. And then, let me say this, please, note this. Oftentimes when you talk like this about leaders, you know, people just look at pastor. Hell, you put your child leader, your very coordinator, the HOD of your unit, they are all leaders. Number two, when you feel you deserve equal attention with your pastor, your leader, or even better. Let me tell you something. Do you know what? I can tell you 100%. Look here. That was John's problem. Nobody was talking about him anymore. It was that Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus' doctrine. No, his own doctrine. So when you get the attention, when you feel you deserve equal attention or even better. You know, at the beginning of church, you can like how they say, Pastor sir, good morning sir. And everybody gives your leader food and all that. But after a while, you say, what's the big deal? Why can't I have the same attention? Or it now happens that the pastor now discovered that sisters are bringing vegetable food to your house. He says, Scott, sir, what are you doing with food? Who brought food to that? He's like, Church, you must get brought food to you too, sir. If you that, if they can do it to pastor, why not me? You are already offended. Why? Why should you think like that? Are you the pastor? Bible says, what do we do to those who teach us? Double honor. Those who labor and over us in the Lord, they should be esteemed more highly. Now, do you know that we are not all on the same level? There is the pastor, his associates, and all the leaders. So, watch me. Deola is a member of Sheol Scott's cell. Deola should treat Sheol Scott highly. Sheol Scott is under Pastor Jakes' fellowship. Pastor Jakes will be seen by Sheol highly. Today, Philippe is the pastor of the church. Pastor Jakes or Sheol will see Pastor Jakes highly. Pastor Jakes will see today, Philippe, who is the pastor highly. Now, do you know that because of that, Deola will see Pastor Tunde in a very, very high level. Is that not true? Pastor Jakes will see him in a high level. Deola cannot see Pastor Jakes in the same light as Pastor Tunde. It's not logical. The fact that you are not a very coordinator doesn't make you pastor yet, though. At least yet. You are a cell leader. Who made you cell leader? The pastor. Who made you cell leader? The pastor. So what's the problem? But at the same time, we are all men of God. We are all ministry gifts. Bros. Where did you get that revelation? More highly. You be smart. If they are giving to your pastor, give it to your brother. No, that's, no. Thank you. Don't people think like that? So that means you deserve the same attention. No, you don't. Because you are not the pastor. You have to be careful what people do to you in your fellowship centers. Don't let them equate you with the pastor. When they start quoting you, you say, wait. Let me tell you where I taught it from. Quote, quote the pastor. So they, you see, see what they told David? Women, no? They said, Saul killed what? 1,000. David killed. Why did he have to lie? David only killed Goliath. People will make you what you are not. Say, no. Don't quote me. Why should they be quoting you? Like Pastor Emmanuel taught us. You get the mic and correct the person. No. You know what you are doing? You are saving yourself from offense. That's what you are doing. You are not giving yourself unnecessary stress. You know, say, let me tell you. Someone say, why are they not quoting me? It's going to be trouble. You better you allow somebody to be quoted. So that's an easy one. Are we there? Very good. Number three. What you used to do willingly before is now becoming difficult. And you already have reasons why it's difficult. You're offended. What you used to do normally, now you don't do it again. It is now difficult for you, and you know the issue. You now have reasons why it is difficult. Somebody used to preach commitment to the work of the ministry. I used to say it that, look, I've decided in my heart I will serve this Jesus. Is all and all to me. 2 years down the line, you are saying, this doesn't give us time for our life. You know, you say that offense has come. What you were doing willingly, that I know that they used to do some things willingly, they don't do it again. I tell people, let us know you for what we know you for all the time. Don't stop doing good. The Bible says to not be weary in doing good. Don't faint, so that you will reap and faint not when the season is due. There is a due season for everything. Number five. Number four. When you always, or you are defensive when you are confronted. No, Ika, did you do this? That's not actually what happened, sir. Actually, sir, you know why I respond like that? An offense has come. It may just have come immediately, or it has been there before. That's a trait that you are offended. When you are defensive, when you are confronted, I didn't say you are corrected. Some people like public, they like personal things. Call them on the phone, tell them personally. But when you confront them, they look at image and then they are defensive. They are already offended. Number five. When you cannot stand correction. So now I think it's too much. Number six. When you think your own way of doing things is better. Not is different though. Is better. A lady came to me then. He was in fortress. I want to talk to you, sir. About what? She said it's about fortress. I said, about BTC. I said, what exactly? Now, without better ado, you know, when people come to you like that, and the head of the fellowship center was Pastor Fuke. So when someone comes to me like that, hey, what about it? So you see that somebody was asked to preach. That's what the lady told me. And the way the fellowship center is run, she now said, is different from the one that is run in social and so place where she came from. That's part of the ministry. I tried to see again whether we had changed pastor. I said, okay. So you know, so that some person was asked to preach. I wonder why. This is not how we do things in this ministry. She met Pastor Funke in the ministry, but she's more learned. I said, I looked at her and I said, okay. So what have happened? She said, no. It's not. She was not telling me how it ought to be done. I was supposed to take notes, but I forgot. I knew where she was coming from, because the very place she was coming from. So she was infected. So I asked her a question, but you are in fortress. Say yes. It is the person that is your leader. Do you have a fortress? No, I don't have a fortress. I said, why? No reason. You know why? Because in fortress you preach. But you feel that you should be preaching in your own BTC. So you know what? Hell will become heaven the day you preach there. You won't preach. Let the lady preach. Are you satisfied? Says that what you're going to say, sir. I said you want to add to it. I've done my own. He said the eyes have seen the ocean. I've seen the sea. If I see a pond, I won't be scared. I saw the problem. Today, she's not preaching. She's not a BTC. She's not a fortress. She is not a mountain. She is not a cave. The same place is there. They are still preaching. Your way is better. Who told you? You are offended. She told me the story of, but this lady that I want to preach, we thought I'd follow up. You got born again here. Is there a difference? At least that one was saying before she came. You came in as a sinner. If you are falling dead at the door before you enter my house, that would have been the end. Number 7. I would have done better if I was in charge. I wish you were the coordinator of the outreach center. Why? Why? Have you not that ambition before? Is an offense. Oh? Is an offense. Say it's an offense. He's coming over as an offense. I wish I was the coordinator. Some of you, it's very difficult. Somebody used to call by name, they used to call the person pastor. You don't have to use eh. But your heart is O-eh. O-eh. There's trouble at the door. Is an offense. You think you wish you were the... So look at that. Let me see somebody here now. Bosho is teaching in the cell. Should not say it like that. If I were the one preaching, I would have used these scriptures. I'll have mentioned, but if I was a person already used it, I don't know why I didn't use it, but. Offense done, they come. Let me tell you the truth. You know I've used the scripture. You're lying. It's because you are sitting. That's why it's for you to preach. If you are here, I don't know why you get on the bush on. When you are, scriptures will run away. So I mean, you follow up by a dozen people. Second Peter chapter 6, because many will not check it. But when you are in the lab call, you know somebody somewhere might check it. So second Peter, just be cool. And calm. Say, let's read. You wouldn't have done it better. Number 8. Don't you think it's okay to correct or challenge your leader or your leader's decisions? An offense has come. A.K.A. Peter and John. John the Baptist, though. Peter the Apostle. Number 9. You speak about your leader behind him. What do you say behind pastor and your leaders? You know, you can say like this. Well, sharpen. So that I will not be offended. Washer, so that I will not be rebellious. Washer, hey, you get that shot? Showers are for all, because you're already offended. Some people have meetings about their pastor behind him. You know the funny thing about all these things? Do you know that word men have reasons for these things? What men have reasons, though? They have reasons for offense. Can you imagine? I remember talking about a lady who was in a church. She said God asked her to go to a church. She got there. She now didn't attend again. She said, why don't you attend? She said, the noise of the speakers was too loud. She said, why didn't you just simply buy earplugs? If God said you do something, you should do it. I mean, don't do it and forget whatever you see there. There's a rest on the way to Canaan. Cross it anyway. I mean, don't do it and stop giving us, I'm led today. Today you are copper. You are led by the Spirit. Today you are copper by the devil. Be led and be led. As I told you today, what you keep your word. We never know the pain we cause people when we don't keep our word. Let me say this. Your pastor appreciates more what you do when he's not there than what you do when he's there. Friendship is not what you do when I'm there. Is what you do when I'm not there. An hypocrite is one who does behind you what he won't do before you. Number 10, the last one. When you heard something spoken against your leadership, your friend, your associate, your pastor, and you said nothing. You didn't say anything. That's a trait of an offense. They often say, what pains us in the midst of crisis is not what people say about us, but the silence of our friends. They said nothing. Someone came and said, Pastor, Yinka said so-so and so, or Ibuku said so-so and so. I'm not particular about what you are telling me. I'm particular about, so what did you say there? I said that, I just kept quiet. Something is wrong with you. So why did you come and tell me? There and there, you should clear it up. You should stand for your leaders, your church, your ministry. Even when your pastor is not there. Pastor, I must tell you the truth. I am already offended. For what you have said, I've had offense in my life. What do I do? Number one, pray. Pray for the person you offended at. Pray positive prayer. Pray the word of God. Bless the person in prayer. And pray for yourself. You have to learn to pray. What we pray about, we don't complain about. What we pray about, we don't gossip about. Don't gossip it to men, gossip it to God. Number two. Speak faith-filled words. You know, I just go ahead and say, well, thank God for Sister Bola. She's such a wonderful leader. Thank God for her life. She's such a blessing to my life. I'm saying it repeatedly, repeatedly. Faith-filled words recreated the world. Hebrews 11:3. Choose to say the right things. Oftentimes, I will recreate that situation. What a wonderful cell leader I have. What a great pastor that I have. What a wonderful HOD I have over me. What a wonderful brother that guy is. I may not like the way he said what he said on Sunday. I may not like the fact that he didn't pick me in his car. Amen. I may not like the fact that I asked him for money he didn't give me. What a wonderful blessing he is. When he leads prayer, I get blessed. When he preaches, I get blessed. When, I mean, the way he attends the first time is wonderful. The way, you know, I just choose to faith, speak faith-filled words. When I say that, I overcome offense. I get it out of my heart. Lastly, this is key. I give to the person. Send an offering. Not a change. Something worth the while. Give it to the person. Generously. Appreciate him openly. And appreciate the person privately. Remember years back, we had pastor's appreciation and somebody, strange creature, just came up and started talking about someone else. I mentioned a particular pastor in the church there, let us all appreciate this person. And we all knew that was hypocrisy. Because that was not what you were saying privately. You were just saying that, you know, basically, to be an hypocrite that you are. Do it privately. Walk up to Mandela, you're such a blessing. Thank God for your life. I've been blessed by you. You know something? Get to know the person's birthday. Send a gift. Wedding anniversary. I owe. You know. Be a blessing. New Year's Day, send an hamper. Father's Day, get on the person's Facebook, or Mother's Day, the woman on the person's Facebook, and say a lot about the person. People that I appreciate, not necessarily are perfect. They are not. I've grown, one of my friends in ministry was an elder brother to me who teaches me the word of God, Pastor Tooks. We've known him for almost 20 years. Almost 20 years. We've become family. We've had series of offense transpire. We've had issues and we've had to cut phone, I mean, switch off the phones on ourselves. We've had to say, I don't want to be your friend. We've had instances, but we've grown out of it. We've come to say something. One day we're talking, we say, you know what? We won't stay on our weaknesses. Let's stay on our strengths. Let's talk about that the more. Where we agree. Where we love what we do. And that has helped our relationship nurture till date. Speak faith with words. Appreciate the person. Send gifts. One of the first things I did when I discovered I was wrong in a relationship, I took all the money in my account and sent it to that fellow. God bless you. That for me released the offense. Because I will never get blessed through someone whom I'm offended at. Whether it's a brother in church, whether it's a pastor in church, or a leader. Refuse to be offended. Where you are, get it out by prayer, speak faith-filled words, and appreciate the person privately and publicly. When you can't do both, you are an hypocrite. Do it privately and publicly. Are you blessed? Bow your head.